If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Revelation chapter 19 and verses 11 to 21. As we continue in our series, Here Comes the Sun, Revelation chapter 19, starting at verse 11. John writes, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with a sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. And let's pray. Lord, what an awesome text. And I pray, Lord, as we look at the Battle of Armageddon today, you would just show us how critical it is that we are prepared, that we know you, Lord, before this battle even starts. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last week, because of all the hell that's breaking loose all over the world right now, a restaurant in San Diego, California called Slater 5050 came out with what they call the Armageddon Burger. 4 half-pound beef patties, a chicken breast, pulled pork, a barbecued pork chop, 8 slices of cheddar cheese, coleslaw, and Tabasco aioli mayonnaise. Because the meat shall inherit the earth, I guess. So if you want to rain down fire and brimstone in your colon and get your guts to struggle to survive as much as you're going to, there you go. Folks, the world doesn't have a clue what Armageddon really is. But the Bible tells us exactly what it is because it's the very next thing on God's timeline for the end times. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Here Comes the Sun, looking at all the major events and God's plans for the last days leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So far in this series, we've looked at the church age and the rapture of the church and the great tribulation. And today we look at the next thing on the timeline, and that's the Battle of Armageddon. And to see that, we turn today to Revelation chapter 19 and verses 11 to 21. In this part of Revelation chapter 19, all the nations of the world gather together against Israel to try to destroy her once and for all. But in our text today, Jesus Christ comes down from heaven to clean house and to fight for Israel. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we're going to understand the Battle of Armageddon. We need to understand how to prepare for it so that we can share in the victory when it's all said and done. Our text this morning, Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 21, tells us 3 things that we need to understand about the Battle of Armageddon. And let's look and see what those 3 things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about the Battle of Armageddon, this battle is really going to happen. And that is exactly what John is telling us here in this part of Revelation 19. Because the world today doesn't have a clue about Armageddon. Bad winter storm comes, people call it Snowmageddon. Donald Trump gets reelected in 2024. The left's already calling it Trumpageddon. Over the last 10 years, we've seen all kinds of disaster porn movies about things that are supposedly like Armageddon. Like Die Hard 2 and World War Z and Day After Tomorrow. But folks, the Battle of Armageddon is not Day After Tomorrow, because after the battle, there ain't going to be any real tomorrows. The Battle of Armageddon is not a Bruce Willis movie, folks. This battle is really going to happen. And that is exactly what John is telling us here. Now, after the rapture, the Antichrist comes with a Build Back Better campaign. And they make him American Idol and give him the Nobel Peace Prize. and the satanic trinity, the devil and the antichrist and the false prophet gaslight the entire world. And everybody and his brother lines up for the mark of the beast like a Taylor Swift movie. And there's going to be a one world government and a one world economy and a one world religion. Revelation chapter 13 verse 5, the entire world will worship the antichrist and the image that he sets up of himself in the temple in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us the Antichrist will come out of the old Roman Empire. Daniel chapter 7 verse 8. The European Union today. You see the new European Union Parliament building that was built in Brussels? To purposely look like the Tower of Babel. The symbol of the world's rebellion against God. You don't think this battle is really going to happen? And the Antichrist will unleash hell on the Jewish people. And fight buku battles to consolidate all of his power. All the while, God is raining down holy hell judgments on the world with seven seals of supernatural evil and seven trumpets of natural disaster and seven bowls, seven super bowls of the pure wrath of God. See what golf ball-sized hailstones can do to a car? Now think about the end of the Great Tribulation, what 100-pound hailstones will do to your car. And 144,000 Jewish Christian evangelists will be preaching the gospel like kosher Billy Grahams. And the two witnesses in Jerusalem will testify to the truth before they're killed and taken up into heaven. And an angel will fly all over the planet broadcasting the gospel like a Goodyear blimp. So notice, even in the absolute worst, the most hellacious, the most horrific judgment of God in the history of all time, space, and dimension, at the end of the Great Tribulation, God is still merciful and gracious enough to offer people who flim their nose at Him and spit all over His Son to still offer them a chance to get saved. You talk about amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Revelation chapter 16 says, demon spirits that look like frogs will go out and deceive all the leaders of all the nations of the world and gather them together against Israel to try to destroy them. All the people lately who said that they've seen space aliens, which are really demon spirits and fallen angels, what do they say those demon spirits look like? They say they look like frogs. You don't think this battle's really going to happen? To finish what Hitler started? The final solution? Revelation chapter 16 verse 16 says, the kings of the earth will be gathered to a place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. All roads in the last days lead to Armageddon. Not Middle Earth, not Barbie World, not Never Never Land, not somewhere over the rainbow. A real valley in Israel called the Valley of Megiddo. 20 miles long, 14 miles wide, 80 miles north of the city of Jerusalem. From Megiddo in the north to Basra in the south. Napoleon said the Valley of Armageddon is the most natural battlefield anywhere on planet Earth. And over the centuries, dozens and dozens of historic battles have been fought that have determined the course of Israel and also the course of the world. Amen. And at the end of the Great Tribulation, the mother of all battles, the end all battles, is going to be fought there. The Battle of Armageddon for all the marbles. And I know there's people listening to this sermon right now saying, well, Kevin, I don't believe that. I don't believe there's going to be any kind of a battle like that. Well, you don't have to take my opinion for it. It's just the Bible. And why is this battle going to happen? For good versus evil. To destroy all the nations of the world that have always been in rebellion against God. Most of all, to try to destroy the nation of Israel and the people of Israel. This absolute black-hearted hatred for Jewish people. From slavery in Egypt, to the pogroms in Russia, to the Holocaust in World War II. People hate the Jews, and they don't even know why. I know why, because the Jews are God's chosen people. And the Jewish people remind the other people that there is a God that they hate even more. So this hatred for the Jews isn't something natural, it's spiritual. It is supernatural. It's demonic. From the Nazis gassing the Jews in Auschwitz to the new Nazis, to Hamas, chopping off Jewish babies' heads and tying Jews to the beds and setting them on fire. It's satanic. And notice the Antichrist doesn't go to New York City or Rio or the Cayman Islands. Of all the places on earth, he goes to the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And why? Because of all the places on the face of the earth, that is the one place where God said he would specifically put his name and his presence. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 4, the Antichrist will set up shop at the temple in Jerusalem to try to prove to the world that he is God and not the God of the Bible. So the battle of Armageddon is God versus the devil, Jesus Christ versus the Antichrist, mano a mano, let's rock and roll for all the marbles. And I'll give you a tip, the smart money ain't on the Antichrist. You don't think this battle's really going to happen? You don't think the Antichrist is already on the move? Because just look at all the places that we see the number of the Antichrist right now. 666, especially in the last 3 years. The whole thing with the coronavirus. The word corona has six letters. You add up the numerical value of all the letters in corona, you get 66. 6 plus 66 is 666. The virus lab in Wuhan, China, where the virus was released from. Do you know what the street address is for that virus lab in China? 666 Goshen Drive. Pfizer Corporation that was in cahoots with it. That made hundreds of billions of dollars on a phony deadly vaccine for the COVID virus. Do you know what the phone number is for their customer service hotline? 1-800-666-7248. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence, right? Folks, everything to do with COVID has 666 crawling all over it. Back in 2020, Black Panther Representative Bobby Rush from Chicago introduced a bill in the U.S. House of Representatives that would have given $100 billion in bounty money to churches and schools and organizations and businesses that wouldn't let anybody come in if they weren't vaccinated. Money so those people could be followed and forcibly dragged out of their houses and have their rights taken away. And do you know what number was given to that bill in the House? HB 6666. Back in 2020, Bill Gates came up with what he called a quantum dot vaccine system that would inject nanoparticles under your skin. Nanoparticles that could hold your personal information and your financial information and exchange digital currency. And with a chemical called luciferase, those nanoparticles would glow under your skin so somebody from the outside could find them and scan them with an electronic device. Do you know what patent number was given to Bill Gates' quantum dot vaccine system? W02020606. And here's the kicker. Bill Gates filed for that patent even before the pandemic started, even before Dr. Fauci released the virus. You don't think this whole thing was a setup from the get-go? And then there's Joe Biden. Joe Biden's last name backwards is Medvedev. You know what that means in ancient Hittite language? It literally means 666. Back in 2020, the New World Order gave Joe Biden a campaign slogan called Build Back Better. BBB, B is the second letter of the alphabet. Three B's, 2 times 3 is 6. BBB, code for 666. Joe Biden's campaign sign said Biden 2020. And with the hashtag number 30330. And do you know what you get when you divide 2020 by 30330? You get 666. 2021, Joe Biden was trying to get another disastrous spending bill passed through Congress. And a reporter asked the question, how long is it going to take to get the bill passed? This is what Joe Biden said.
It doesn't matter whether it's in 6 minutes, 6 days, or 6 weeks. We're going to get it done.
6 minutes, 6 days, 6 weeks. 666, I could go on and on. People, at the end of the Great Tribulation, the mother of all battles is going to be fought, called the Battle of Armageddon, with the Antichrist, because the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And with the spirit of Antichrist more and more, comes the number of the Antichrist more and more. Every single day in these last days brings us one day closer to the coming of the Antichrist and the Battle of Armageddon. The first thing that we need to understand about the Battle of Armageddon, this battle is really going to happen. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about the Battle of Armageddon. Not only is this battle really going to happen, but how it's going to happen. And that's also what John is telling us here in verses 11 to 21. Now, who's all going to be here at this battle? Well, the bad guys are going to be the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. All the pagan nations of the world and the pagan leaders and their armies and all the demon spirits that walk the earth. What's left of Russia after the Battle of Gog and Magog will be there. Arrogant President Xi Jinping of China will be there. Still trying to claim that China's going to rule the world someday. We'll see about that. And climate nut Greta Thunberg will probably be there telling people to use biodegradable nuclear bombs. And for the good guys, it's going to be Jesus Christ and all the angels and all the archangels and all the Old Testament saints and all the tribulation saints, people who got saved during the tribulation and went to heaven, and all of us raptured saints. And the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, and all the people in Jerusalem and Judea and Israel. You say, well, Kevin, a good thing I'm not going to be there. Oh, yes, you will be. You're not getting out of this. Verse 14, after Jesus came the armies of heaven, riding on white horses and dressed in linen, white and clean. Remember when people ask you that question, you and what army? There you go. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, Kevin, we're going to ride on horses out of heaven. I'm afraid of heights and I'm scared of horses. Me too, scared to death. But listen to me. In the last days, when I get a chance to ride with Jesus and come out of heaven to come against every demon power in hell that has harassed me and tormented me and the people that I love, and to show the devil how the cow eat the cabbage, giddy up, hi-ho, silver away. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, where's the United States of America in this? I'll tell you where they're at. They're fighting against the Lord too. You got to realize what makes America, America, is us Christians and the Christian foundation in this country and the Holy Spirit, because 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But after the rapture comes and us Christians are taken out and the Christian foundation of this country is taken out and the Holy Spirit is gone, America won't be America anymore. The cry of my heart has always been that this nation stays one nation under God and free until Jesus comes back. But after Jesus comes back, all bets are off. Amen. Revelation 9:16 says the kings of the east will be at the battle of Armageddon. All the armies of Asia, 200 million soldiers just from the east. And how are they going to get there? Revelation 16:12 says the Euphrates River is going to dry up, giving them a straight shot, because Israel is only 9 hours away from the Euphrates River at Ramadi. And what do you know? Since 1990, the Euphrates River has already been drying up. Some places the Euphrates River has been dry as a bone for the last 25 years. You don't think Bible prophecy is being fulfilled? You don't think this battle is really going to happen just like the Bible says? And how's this battle going to shake out? Well, the battle starts in the Valley of Armageddon, but then it moves to Jerusalem. Chapter 11, verse 19, John says, behold, I saw heaven open. There's only two times in your entire Bible where somebody says, I saw heaven open. The first time, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 at the rapture. The second time right here, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 at the second coming at Armageddon. Amen. And John says, behold, I saw a rider on a white horse. And that's Jesus. And his eyes were like blazing fire. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to smite the nations. And he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. So regardless of what Joel Osteen wants to tell you, Jesus is not coming again to tell people God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He's coming back kicking tail and taking names. Jesus spent 2,000 years begging and pleading and bending over backwards to give people an opportunity to get saved. But at the Battle of Armageddon, there's no longer any grace and mercy. It's just battle and blood. I talk to so many people all the time. They say, Kevin, you talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ all the time. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm going to wait till Jesus comes back. And then if Jesus comes back again, then I'll get ready. Then I'll get saved. No. Because Jesus parts the clouds at the Battle of Armageddon, it's too late. There won't be any time to get ready. You've got to already be ready before that happens. You're listening to this sermon right now. You're sitting in the church. You don't know Christ is your Savior. The nanosecond this service is over with, you got to get to the front of this church and give your soul to Jesus Christ. And as Jesus is coming down in the clouds, all the superpowers have all their big guns trained on him. Nations of the world have 12,592 nuclear missiles. Russia's got 5,889 of them. Russia also has the most powerful nuclear weapon ever made by man, something called the Tsar Bomba. You drop that Tsar Bomba on New York City in 15 seconds, 7.6 million people are killed, 2.5 million more people critically injured in 15 seconds. The most deadly drone in the entire world is called the MQ-9. 12 laser-guided bombs, Hellfire air-to-ground missiles, Stinger air-to-ground missiles, Nige Sidewinder missiles, and JDAM attack munitions. Serious damage. But in spite of all those weapons, as Jesus Christ is coming down to earth, Jesus says, "You still think you want a piece of this?" Now that's a cool scene from The Lord of the Rings based on what the Bible says about the Battle of Armageddon. But that's not how the Battle of Armageddon is going to go. Because notice from this text, we Christians aren't carrying any weapons ourselves. Because the only one going to do any fighting is Jesus. Notice there is not one description in this text of how this battle actually goes. And you know why? Because it's over before it even starts. Spoiler alert, Jesus wins.
Yeah.
Remember our Muslim friend from the Democrat Kill the Jews rally in New York City earlier this month?
Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah!
La ilaha illallah!
Muhammad Rasulullah! There is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, and the God of the last and final prophet Muhammad.
Guess again, because we will see about that. Because the Bible tells us here Jesus will take every single enemy on that battlefield. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8, he will slay them by the breath of his mouth. And that phrase, by the breath of his mouth, in the literal Greek means like fire coming out of a blast furnace. Just like that. Goodbye. And Jesus says, what's a superpower again? You don't think this battle's going to happen just exactly like the Bible says? Zechariah chapter 14 verse 12, God says, this is the plague with which I will smite on all the enemies at the battle of Armageddon. The flesh will rot on their bodies and the eyes will rot in their sockets and their tongues will rot in their mouths. Just exactly what the American Medical Association says is the effects of the human body of exposed dangerous radiation levels because of a nuclear missile attack. Verse 17, God invites all the birds of the air to come to the valley of Armageddon for an all-you-can-eat buffet. To eat the dead bodies of all the dead enemies. And I'm going to tell you something. That all the lukewarm Laodicean, happy, clappy, God is love, is love, is love preachers will never tell you. Verse 21. Except for all the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, Jesus takes all the enemies on the battlefield, the battle of Armageddon, hundreds of millions of people, and kills them all. Exterminating them without mercy. Every last ever-loving mother's son of them. He kills them all.
Yeah.
This is the New Testament I'm preaching out of today. This is Jesus I'm talking about today. Jesus who says that God is love. But see, the mistake the church is making and the world is making, God isn't just loving, He's also righteous and holy. And because of that, there is a limit to God's patience and God draws a line.
Amen.
Today, He pleads. Tomorrow, He comes.
Yeah.
You don't think this battle is going to happen just exactly like the Bible says? Back in Jesus' day, the city of Jerusalem looked like that, with a temple and the Temple Mount on the east side of the city. And the old city of Jerusalem has a wall around it. And there's 8 major gates in those walls. 2 gates on the east side. One of those eastern gates is called the Golden Gate. Because when you went through that golden gate in the wall, it took you immediately to the east side of the temple. You went through that golden gate in the east side of the wall, it took you to the eastern gate of the temple. And that eastern gate on the wall faced east toward the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley. And that golden gate is completely different from all the other gates in the city of Jerusalem because that gate is completely filled up and sealed. Everything that was left of Solomon's and Herod's temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. But then a Byzantine king, a Christian king, in 629 AD took control of the city of Jerusalem, rebuilt the walls, and also rebuilt the Eastern Gate. But then in 810 AD, the Muslims conquered the city of Jerusalem. And they took that Eastern Gate and they walled it up. They closed it up with brick and mortar. But then, 1103 AD, here we go, back and forth, the Crusaders captured the city of Jerusalem and opened the Eastern Gate again. Until 1187, when the Muslims, under an emperor named Saladin, took control of Jerusalem again and again filled in the Eastern Gate with brick and mortar. And then 1541, under Suleiman the Great, the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, he made repairs to the Eastern Gate and filled it in once and for all for sure with 16 feet of concrete. And that Eastern Gate has been sealed ever since. And why did the Muslims constantly want the Eastern Gate sealed up? Because they knew from Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4 that when Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, he will set his feet on the Mount of Olives and go into the temple through the Eastern Gate. The same gate that Jesus went through when he rode in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And Ezekiel chapter 44 verses 1 to 3 says that because the Messiah, the Lord of glory, entered Jerusalem by the Eastern Gate once, it's always supposed to be shut until the Messiah comes back. So the Muslims knew Bible prophecy better than most Christians do today. And sealed up the gate to try to keep Jesus out. And they not only walled up the gate, they also put a Muslim cemetery in front of the gate because they knew that contact with a dead body would make a Jew like Jesus unclean and unfit to go into the temple and set up his kingdom. So if the concrete couldn't stop Jesus, the boneyard surely would. Well, guess again. Because at the Battle of Armageddon, is going to start in the Valley of Armageddon, then the worst of it is going to move to the city of Jerusalem. In Zechariah chapter 14, the Jews are going to get their heads handed to them, and the city is going to be taken, and the houses are going to be ransacked, and half the population is going to go into captivity. But right when it looks like everything is lost, right when it looks like Israel can't hang on one more second, right when it looks like the Jews are going under for the last time, he comes. Behold, I saw heaven open and a rider on a white horse whose name is faithful and true. On his head are many crowns and his eyes are like blazing fire. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to smite the nations. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ will come down from heaven. He will set his feet on the Mount of Olives. He will shoot across the Kidron Valley like a hellfire missile and bust through that Eastern Gate like a pile of Legos. And no boneyard or cemetery is going to stop him or stall him or make him unclean, because everything that Jesus touches, he makes that clean. Jesus will walk into the temple like he owns the place. He'll take the devil, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, throw them into hell for 1,000 years. All the enemies will be defeated. All the Jews will be saved. And there will be peace, because Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, will be in the house. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 9, on that day there will be only one king and his name will be the only name. At the end of the great tribulation, there's going to be a battle called the Battle of Armageddon. Just exactly like the Bible says. And there's absolutely nothing that anybody can do to stop it, to stall it, to delay it, or keep it from happening. No way, no how. Because God never lies, God's never late, and He never loses. And you're going to be there. You're going to be there right in the trenches. You're going to be there right on the front lines. So the most important thing you have to do in your entire life, absolutely the most important decision you need to make in preparation for this, whose side are you going to be on? Because if you don't pick a side, the dark side is going to pick you. You're sitting in this church today, you're listening to this sermon, you don't know Christ as your Savior. The very nanosecond this service is over, you come up here, you kneel at this altar, and you give your life and your heart and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. You make sure you're riding with the good guys before this battle even starts. The second thing we need to understand about the Battle of Armageddon is how it's going to happen. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about Armageddon. Not only that this battle is going to happen, not only how this battle is going to happen, but how we can see this battle already starting to happen. And that's also what John is telling us here in this chapter of Revelation. The Bible says before the Battle of Armageddon, God will cause all the nations of the world to turn against Israel. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 3. And we see that now. with all the Jew hate that's going on all over the planet right now. Hamas, that terrorist organization, and the Islamic Republic of Iran with all the mullahs are dedicated to two things, destroying Israel and destroying the Jewish people. UN Secretary General last week said Hamas's attack on the Jewish people was justified. Stupid people all over the world holding up that sign from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. They don't realize that's not calling for peace. That's not calling for a Palestinian state. It's calling for mass slaughter and the genocide of the Jewish people. America turning more and more against Israel. Cornell professor Russell Rickman said this. I was exhilarated and energized by the attacks on the Jews. And the only thing I can say to Hamas is, job well done. The payback against the Jewish animals must continue over and over again. Parents, how much money are you throwing down a rat hole to send your kids to stupid woke colleges? Right. And my question is, why isn't that hate speech? Right. You try to make the okay sign today. No, you can't do that. That's racist. You even question the clot shot of the 2020 election. That's misinformation. That's a threat to our democracy. But openly calling for the mass murder of Jews? Nothing to see there. And here's the statistics. 2/3 of all millennials in Generation X today don't know that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. 1 out of 4 young people today thinks the Holocaust is a myth. 1 out of 10 thinks the Holocaust was the Jews' fault. And what's the result? Last week, Cooper Union College in New York City tried to protect Jewish college students from pro-Palestinian protesters by locking the Jewish students in the school library. And the video shows the pro-Palestinian protesters trying to get at them.
Tense moments playing out at Cooper Union during a pro-Palestinian rally yesterday. A group of Jewish students say they were locked inside the library after students and...
My question is, what would those protesters done if they got a hold of those Jews? Cut their heads off too? Folks, this country has raised an entire generation of brown shirts and stormtroopers. Sieg Heil, people! You don't think another Holocaust is going to happen? Just exactly like the Bible says? You see it all coming together. We see the battle with the Antichrist coming together because we see the kingdom of the Antichrist coming together. Last August, President of Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky, appointed a real, actual, practicing witch named Marina Abramovich to be the ambassador for Ukraine. What do you think is going on in that country? And Mariana Abramovich is tight with Tony Podesta, the creepy brother of John Podesta, who's the brains behind Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign. And Tony Podesta and John Podesta and Hillary Clinton all did what Marina Abramovich calls spirit cookers or seances. Crooked Hillary, indeed. Anybody still think that war in Ukraine is legit? And you know what IDF found in Israel after the terrorist attacks on October the 7th? Weapons that the U.S. government gave to Ukraine, like Javelin missiles, to fight Russia with. Ukraine turned around and sold those weapons to terrorists like Hamas to murder the Jews. You don't think in these last days this whole thing is connected? You don't think this whole thing stinks to high heaven? Billionaire Elon Musk now owns 4,266 satellites. He owns 1/5 of all the satellites that are circling planet Earth right now. Elon Musk himself owns more satellites than the United States, Canada, Russia, and India combined. And last August, the U.S. Pentagon had to pay Elon Musk $400 million. Or he was going to shut off all the satellite, all the communication over Eastern Europe, especially with the war in Ukraine. The guy is not a politician. He is not a statesman. He has that much power. And Elon Musk wants 45,000 more satellites circling the planet because he wants his Corporation X to be a worldwide economic system, a one world economy, just exactly like the Antichrist is going to have when he gets here. And what does Elon Musk want 45,000 satellites for? I'll tell you why. So he can track and trace and control every single human being on the face of the earth. You don't think one man can rule the world like the Antichrist will? It's all coming together, folks. Just exactly like the Bible says. WorldCoin Corporation is now using what they call their orb to take iris scans of people's eyeballs, to create for you a digital identity that is linked to a global financial pay network. What does that sound like? And now WorldCoin is sharing their technology with all different kinds of governments all over the world. Of course they are. People that has one world government and one world economy written all over it. And in case you think there's something funky about that WorldCoin logo, 666. It's all coming together, folks. The war in Israel is all coming together. Four horsemen of the apocalypse are already out of the barn. The march to Armageddon has already started. All the major players, the Bible says, are going to be there at Armageddon, are already in place in the Middle East. Russia, China, Iran, Lebanon, Israel, Egypt, Jordan, Iraq. I could go on and on. All the preparations are being made. China already has warships in the Persian Gulf. United States has two carrier groups there and 2,000 troops on the ground. Special Forces and Delta Force and SEAL Team 6 are on standby, ready to go into Gaza. You talk about apocalyptic. The U.S. military is now installing missile batteries all over the entire Middle East, not to protect Israel, but to protect the United States military and their installations. U.S. soldiers are already firing on enemy soldiers, firing rockets at them to protect U.S. embassies. Folks, the World War III is not just close to starting, it's already starting. Last week, the Biden administration ordered the evacuation of hundreds of thousands of Americans out of the Middle East. What do you think is coming? And remember French President Emmanuel Macron, the Antichrist wannabe? Last week, he started calling for an international global coalition, a military made up of armies of all the nations of the world to go to Israel and take care of the problem once and for all. Just exactly like the Antichrist is going to try to do at Armageddon. And who does Emmanuel Macron think should be leading this international global coalition? Well, what do you know? Emmanuel Macron himself. Bingo. It's all coming together, folks, just exactly like Bible prophecy says. The pieces are all in place. The players are already on stage. Can anybody else hear hoofbeats, or is it just me? Battle of Armageddon. Here we come. And through it all, Israel will survive because God will fight for His people, just like He has over and over again many, many, many times before. Amen. Ever since Israel became a nation again, May 14, 1948, the Jewish people have had to fight like hell, one war of survival after another, against all the surrounding Muslim nations that want to take her out once and for all. One day after Israel declared independence, May 15, 1948, just 3 years after the Holocaust, Israel was surprise attacked by the standing armies of five different Muslim countries. Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Iraq. Absolutely hell-bent on wiping the Jews off the face of the earth once and for all. And you talk about hopeless. The other armies had 160,000 soldiers, 270 tanks, 150 field guns, and 300 aircraft. Well, the Jews only had 32,000 soldiers, no tanks, no armored vehicles, no machine guns, no artillery, and their only air force was a crop duster plane that a pilot could drop hand grenades out of. Half of all IDF had no military training whatsoever, and there was only one rifle for every three Jewish soldiers. And the United Nations slapped an arms embargo on Israel, which means no other country could sell them weapons, because the UN wanted the Jews killed too. And the Jew-hating British military turned every key strategic position in Israel over to the Arabs. Thank you very much. So it was 600,000 Jews against 42 million Muslims. The odds were so bad, the Secretary General of the Arab League, Azam Pasha, said this, "This will be such a massacre, the Jewish people will cease to exist off the face of the earth." And yet, get this, folks, Israel won. Yeah. Israel won. Yeah. In the battle for Mount Zion, 25 Israeli soldiers were surrounded by over 1,000 Jordanian soldiers, Muslim soldiers. And when the Jordanians were moving in for the kill, all of a sudden, amazingly, Iraqis, they just started freaking out, threw down their weapons and ran away. And why? Because they said they saw armies of heaven coming out of the sky and fighting for the Jewish people. You know why that happened? Joshua chapter 10, verse 14, because surely the Lord fights for Israel. 1967, Israel was surprise attacked by Egypt, Syria, and Jordan in what should have been a massacre too. But amazingly, miraculously, Egyptian radar malfunctioned and Israel was able to make a preemptive strike and take out 90% of all Egyptian planes while they still sat on the runway. And time after time after time, even though Egyptian and Syrian and Jordanian soldiers outnumbered the Jews 3-1, they threw away their rifles and ran away because the literal fear of God came over them, like something right out of the Bible. To this day, Israeli military academies do not study the tactics of the 1967 war because they don't make any sense. By day 5, Israel had pushed so far towards Egypt, they took the entire Sinai Peninsula before the United Nations made them give it back. After 6 days, just 6 days after the war started, Israel captured all of the West Bank, all the Golan Heights, and all the city of Jerusalem. So on June the 8th, 1967, for the first time in over 2,000 years, the Jewish people were able to pray at the Western Wall. The 1967 war is called the Six-Day War because it was all over in 6 days. And why? Because Joshua 10:14, surely the Lord fights for Israel. Amen. 1973, just 6 years later. Well, the entire nation of Israel was fasting for Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. 100,000 Egyptian troops attacked Israel from the south, and 1,400 Syrian tanks attacked Israel from the north. And you know what day that attack started? October the 6th, 1973. 50 years later, October the 6th, what be October the 7th in our time zone, 2023. Hamas terrorists murdered and massacred over 1,500 Jews. On the 50th anniversary of the start of the Yom Kippur War, because Muslims never forget a date. 1973, the Jews were reeling in more danger than they had ever been in any war before, because all the IDF was either at home or praying in the synagogue, and the whole country was practically defenseless. And the Jewish people were outnumbered 3-1 in troops and 7-1 in planes and 10-1 in tanks. And Saudi Arabia announced an oil embargo, so any country that tried to help Israel in any way, shape, or form wouldn't get any oil. But thank God, U.S. President Richard Nixon said the heck with the embargo and airlifted supplies to Israel anyway. And again, Israel won because time after time after time, the Egyptian and Jordanian soldiers would freak out and throw their weapons down and run away because they say they saw angels coming out of the sky to fight for the Jewish people. The Yom Kippur War lasted 4 weeks, and when it was over, Israel had pushed 20 miles into Syria and Egypt was begging for a ceasefire. And you know why that happened? Joshua chapter 10, verse 14, because surely the Lord fights for Israel. Amen. 1991, during the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein was threatening to send gas attacks against Israel, chemical weapons, even though Israel wasn't directly involved in the war at all. And Saddam Hussein shot off all kinds of conventional rockets over Israel, and the Jewish people were just waiting for the gas attack to start. But then amazingly, miraculously, the whole wind pattern changed in the Middle East. So instead of the wind blowing like normal, the wind started blowing out of Israel to the east toward Iraq. So no chemical attack ever happened. And why was that? Why did God keep pulling Israel's fat out of the fire over and over and over again? I'll tell you why. Because our God is God. And the Jewish people are God's chosen people. And surely the Lord fights for Israel. And anybody who fights against Israel fights against God. God fought for His people many, many times before. The Battle of Armageddon. He will do it again.
Yes.
For thousands and thousands and thousands of years, the enemy has tried to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth. Today, those enemies are gone. I looked up the Canaanite website the other day. There was nothing there. Go to all the major museums of the world. You can see all the artifacts and all the ruins of all the people who walked the earth with the Jewish people. People who tried to destroy the Jewish people and wipe them out once and for all. Look at their artifacts and look at their ruins, because that's all that's left of them. All those enemies are gone. The people of Israel still live. The enemy has tried to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth for thousands and thousands of years. The Egyptians tried to destroy them. The Assyrians tried to wipe them out. The Babylonians tried to smash them. Rome tried to eliminate them. The Nazis tried to annihilate them. The Soviet Union tried to crush them. Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, the mullahs of Iran, the enemies of Israel have tried to wipe them out for thousands and thousands of years. But today, the pharaohs are dead. Assyria has crumbled. Babylon has fallen. The Roman Empire is no more. Nazi Germany has disintegrated. The Soviet Union has collapsed. Saddam Hussein was hung. Osama bin Laden was shot and killed by SEAL Team 6. All the enemies of the people of Israel are dead, but the people of Israel still live. The people of Israel still live because the God of Israel still lives, and the Messiah of Israel still lives. And the message of the Battle of Armageddon, if you follow the Messiah, you're going to live too. He who keeps Israel will keep you, because the Lord has never lost a battle, and He's not going to start by losing yours. In the name of Mashiach HaMashiach, Jesus Christ the Messiah, the light of the world and the keeper of the people Israel. Last July, archaeologists in Israel uncovered this mosaic, this tile design, on the floor of a house owned by a very rich Christian Jew. And the tile design shows the symbol of a fish, which is the symbol in the first century of Christianity, of Jesus Christ. And do you know where that house was located, where they did that archaeological find? In the Valley of Megiddo. The Valley of Armageddon, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. And don't tell me that God purposely didn't let that mosaic be found to point everybody to Bible prophecy and to remind everybody that what that mosaic stands for, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, at the Battle of Armageddon, is coming back with the church to claim victory over all time, space, and dimension. If you're an unbeliever today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Battle of Armageddon is really bad news. Because if you're not trusting Christ when He parts the clouds and come down, you're going to be too late. And you're going to go to hell. And you'll never get out. But if you're a Christian, listen to this sermon right now. The Battle of Armageddon is good news because Jesus is coming. Yeah. And what Armageddon teaches us, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're battling and fighting right now, Jesus Christ is coming again. And He will come and fight that battle for you and give you victory. Because Jesus has never lost a war. And He's not going to start with yours either. People, victory is coming. Because Jesus is coming. Just a matter of time. Just as sure as you are sitting there right now, we shall behold Him.
Shall unfold, preparing His entrance. The stars shall applaud Him with thunders. The sweet light in His eyes shall enhance His awaiting. Behold Him.
Today, you don't know Christ as your Savior. After the service is over, come to the front of this church. We've seen so many people saved here. And you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision one way or the other. If you haven't made a decision for Christ, that's a decision for the wrong team. That's a decision for the other side. Today is your opportunity to get saved. We're going to close with Days of Elijah. You can't talk about the second coming of Christ without singing this song. After the song is over, you got any needs whatsoever, just come to the front of the church. We'll pray over them. God will do amazing things.
Declaring the word of the Lord. And God like Jehovah. There's no 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 God like Jehovah.
Today and you need prayer for anything, please come forward. If it's salvation, if it's healing, there's a battle you're fighting, you haven't got victory over yet, come to up here today, we'll take it to the Lord.